Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Media's 2021 Gimmick Awards, where we talk about the games and anime that meant a lot to us this year. And we're back for another category. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Jennifer Uncle.
I'm Kyrie Page.
And this time we're talking about the social game of the year, which, is a good new name. We were doing like best multiplayer game or something, but that's not very expressive. This is the social game.
Yeah, like I also tried to like say like, oh, whose turn is it anyway? But that didn't work out so well.
They didn't really explain what the award was.
No.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now more than ever, it is good to have a game where you can load it up and play it with friends, or just have something that you can talk around the old microphone water cooler.
Yeah, like we're trying to celebrate the games that like brought us closer together, you know, the games that you can just put on and just have a good time playing with a group of people. And I think some of the metrics we'll be using is talking about like, how well does the game facilitate, you know, multiplayer play? And I don't know. We have a lot of like really cool games on this list that I'm really excited to talk about.
So, Jen, could you provide our list? We are looking for one winner and two or possibly more runners up.
Yeah, so the nominees are Mario Party Superstars, Jackbox Party Pack 8, Melty Blood Type Lumina, Hell Let Loose, Mahjong Soul, Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, Mario Golf Super Rush, Pokemon Unite, Gundam Battle Operation 2, Knockout City, Halo Infinite, Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 7, The First Soldier, and Forza Horizon 5.
Alright.
Knockout City is the name of my strip club.
And wow, also, wow. The first thing will probably knock off this list.
No, I think there's one that comes before it.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah? What's that?
What? Puyo Puyo Tetris 2.
No. Wrong.
No one pleaded with me.
You're like, let's keep a bad game. Let's keep a good game. Whatever. Fuck it. Words. Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 rules. Knockout City doesn't. It's fine.
No one wanted to play Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 with me.
You never fucking asked, Jennifer. We're not goddamn psychic.
Okay, I'll ask more often.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's like it turns out to play multiplayer games, you got to ask people to play them with you.
Yeah.
We can cut Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, but Knockout City absolutely has to be the first cut.
Knockout City is a game that I actually kind of like the concept. It's a, was it 2v2, 4v4, like, dodgeball-style game?
Yeah, it's decently fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like this fun thing. It's just sort of like, it's unfortunately one of those multiplayer games that you play for like an hour or two, and you go, is this it? Is this what we're doing? And it's not like, you know, there is a space for like non-traditional, you know, multiplayer games. Like, I love the Splatoon series, like, to death. Like, I bought a Wii U so I could play that original Splatoon game. Like, but, and that is like a not necessarily like traditional, like, it's not like a shooter, it's not like a fighting game or whatever, but like there's lots of like really interesting mechanical choices and teamwork options that you have at your disposal in Splatoon. And Knockout City is just sort of like throw the ball with our lock-on system, and it has some like interesting ideas with like ball power-ups, and like you can turn your teammate into a ball and throw them at people, but like it's just kind of shallow.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's fine, it's decent to have a good time with, but I don't think it's a social game of the year.
No.
Yeah, speaking of,
we can cut, I'm just gonna go ahead and cut Puyo Puyo Tetris 2.
Oh, okay.
It's more Puyo Puyo.
I think it's great, but it's I like,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you're going to say. It's more Puyo Puyo Tetris, and I wouldn't necessarily cut it right now, but that's just standing on ceremony. It's not going to make the top.
Yeah, like, I like Puyo Puyo Tetris. Like, I'm still shocked that that first game came out in the U.S. That was granted at that point, like, the Tetris license was so fraught of, like, Ubisoft had, like, partial ownership of the Ubisoft license in certain regions of the world, and they weren't playing nice with Sega, and Sega was like, fuck this, you know, we're gonna make this Japan only, because, like, I think the holding companies for Tetris and Sega are more amicable in Japan. But then the first game comes out, and then it's like they make a sequel. It's still Puyo Tetris. It's still really fun to, like, have this mashup of styles, but I don't know. I'm glad more of it exists. I'm glad more people can play it, that the Ubisoft, I guess, eventually lost the license to Tetris. Were they the ones that did Tetris Ultimate on, like, PS4 that was, like, a fucked up nightmare game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bet the Tetris holding company was like, oh, we're not gonna let you be the shepherds of this anymore. It's Tetris. You could run it on anything, and you managed to make a Tetris game with, like frame rate drops.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Let's see.
I think we should also get Mario Golf Super Rush.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think honestly, like, one of the things that has me not playing more of Mario Golf Super Rush is that the Super Rushing sucks.
Yeah.
I think there is something to this idea of, like, the, like, you hit the ball and you run to it and you do this stuff, right? I think you could do something with that. They extremely did not. I don't know why it's there.
Yeah, it's like, I think it is emblematic of, like, the game itself that I remember when we had our gathering earlier in 2021, we had more fun just doing basically the play and pass, like, traditional golf game, where everybody took their turn on their own mm-hmm. and just played the game of golf. Like, it's mm-hmm. still novel to be like, oh, I'm going to run to my ball and I can interact with the other players. Like, oh, if I do my special shot, it'll knock them off their course. But the course design, it's kind of interesting. Mario Golf Super Rush's course design are not as, like, they don't really take advantage of it in the ways that you would hope or expect, because it's like, it's video game golf. You don't have to, like, conform to the material realities of making a golf course in the real world. And they kind of do this with, like, their battle golf game, where it's like a big flat field, but, like, you could go to any hole or whatever, and it's, like, in a stadium, and, like, that's kind of cool, but it's kind of not enough.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also cut Pokemon Unite. I had a good time with Pokemon Unite, this game, but as a social game, it's a failure.
Yeah, like, Pokemon Unite is, it's fun. It's like, it got me, like, flirting with MOBAs on some level. Then I realized the relationship would never work out.
Listen, sweetie, don't write it off so quick.
I don't know. Maybe I could be.
I have a friend. I have a friend you're really gonna like.
Okay. Who are they?
His name is Dada.
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 Like the art movement.
Similar. It's with an O and a T.
Okay.
Listen, I don't want to spoil
you know,
surprise.
You know what? You know what? Send me his number. Maybe I'll text him. We'll see where it goes.
We'll put you on a blind date, and then the match will go for an hour and 30 minutes, and you'll be like, oh, God, let me out.
Uh-huh. But yeah. No, but, like, Pokemon Unite is, it's fun. It's fun to, like, you know, it was fun in those early weeks where everybody was playing it and everybody was kind of bad at the game, and you were just kind of, like, exploring the possibility space, but, you know, it's a, you know, Tencent produced game, so there's tons of just, like, microtransactions and, like, things of that nature. Like, you don't have, like, traditional item leveling that you do in other MOBAs. Like, you have to, like, spend a certain, like, currency to, like, increase the power of your items to take into battle, and it's not really fun. And also, it's like, playing with friends is, like, it's hard to do. Like, does it even have crossplay with, does the Switch version have crossplay with the mobile version?
I think it does have crossplay, but I think to me more the issue is like the tools for communication and coordination are weak,
mm-hmm.
and most characters' abilities don't interact with other characters, right? Like, it kind of, it's like playing, you know, like Call of Duty with a friend. Like, yeah, I guess we're in the same match, shooting guns at the same time, that's cool, but like,
there's like,
I don't know.
There's like some communication that you have, like if you're playing with somebody on like a Discord call or whatever, and just be like, you know, oh, we need to like push the top lane or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the synergies of the different characters and things that you can do just don't have that element in there beyond like a chaotic team fight. But even then, it's just everybody's just popping off all their abilities and trying to get out of the mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is really cool to look at Cinderace in a pirate like outfit, though. That's pretty sick.
It's all right. It's all right. There's some better ones. There's Gengar in an astronaut outfit. That's pretty good.
Yeah. They gave Zerazora. Never mind. Don't even worry about it. The lightning furry one.
Oh, Pikachu.
Yeah.
I was kind of let down by Jackbox Party Pack 8.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm the Jackbox Party Pack person, I guess. Like, I really like this game. So, like, well, I mean, like, they have been, like, really strong. Like most of the entries have been really fun. It's just that Jackbox Party Pack 8 lives in the shadow of Jackbox Party Pack 7, which, to remind you, was one of my games of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Jackbox Party Pack 8 doesn't have some fun games in it. Let me pull up the list exactly.
I think Job is the only one that I think is truly really good.
Yeah, Job is really fun, where you just, the basic premise is that you get a prompt and you fill out a prompt, and then the words and punctuation gets randomly distributed to other players, and you need to make up answers to interview questions. And that's a lot of fun. Job is definitely like the winner of like the party pack. And not to say that, like, there aren't, like, other fun ideas, but they're very, like, specific ideas. Like, for, like, the Party Pack 7, you could just put on, like, Talking Points and Quiplash and get people involved very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Party Pack 8 games are trying to, like, do a very specific thing, which isn't necessarily even a bad thing. It's just that you have to be in a particular frame of mind to play some of these games. Like, Weapons Drawn is like cool conceptually. It kind of breaks down a little bit, but it is fun to, like, you know, look at pictures and figure out murder weapons and things like that.
I think a lot of the problem with most of the games in 8 is just that they are trying really hard to do things they haven't done before, and they've done, you know, so many games already that you have like Drawful Animate, which is like, what if it's Drawful, but you're making animated GIFs, I guess? And it's like, this sucks, man.
I will say that, like, at least the interface of Drawful Animate, I think they do a pretty good job of, like, you don't have to be, like, an animator to make these simple, like, two-frame animations. And there is some fun to be had. But again, it's not like, you know, to recall, like, last year's, you know, entry, like, Champed Up. Champed Up has just such a specific premise that you can wrap your head around really quickly.
Yeah, I think the issue with like, there are certain Jackbox games in each pack that like ask real time for you to take to learn them, and that can either go well, or I feel like it's really easy to get that wrong and to just make something that turns into a bit of a unfun slog.
Right, and I don't necessarily even think that, like, many of the games, like, on Party Pack 8 are unfun. Like, I had a great time with Pull Mine, like, but the thing is, Pull Mine requires a specific context of, like, being with either A, a large group of friends at the same time, to make like interesting distributions of like, you know, poll answers, or like you are one of those Twitch streamers that could get like thousands of people in your audience influencing the poll. Like Poll Mine is not very conducive as a game to just having like four people around and like answering these bizarre questions, right? Like, and again, I've been in that context of like, I think I did a game of Poll Mine where we had like a full like eight people on like another server, and that was fun. That was like engaging. But again, I think the best party pack games, like in historically in Jackbox, are ones that scale really well and in interesting ways. And the problem is the scale of the games in Party Pack 8 just isn't quite there. And again, it's just, it stands in the shadow of Party Pack 7, one of the best like party packs they've ever put out.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can cut it. Still fun, but it's not the social game of the year.
I don't know where to go from here. This list feels harder to narrow down than the other ones that we've done.
So, okay, I have a few that I think we can at least talk about.
Okay.
Like, here's a question. I'm genuinely asking this. Like, I did not play Hell Let Loose. Jen and mm-hmm. Six, did you play Hell Let Loose?
I meant to play Hell Let Loose, but I kind of installed it and haven't touched it yet. But from what I've seen from like Waypoint and other folks, that game seems really neat to play with friends.
I've played a fair bit of Hell Let Loose. I think the way Hell Let Loose manages to get people to like do a, you know, a more casual, a more friendly, but a version of like military hierarchy is really good, right? I think it's really compelling the way it has sort of the tiers of command and like information sharing and stuff. I think it's very compelling on that axis. I think, frankly, that's why it would be here. I'm not going to put it on a game of the year list, and I honestly wouldn't have kept it on multiplayer game of the year, but as far as social game of the year, I do think it's something really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Hell Let Loose is a really cool idea. I have played other games like in that, you know, style. Like, I love the idea of like playing a, you know, multiplayer game where everybody has like specific jobs to do. I mentioned it even on an earlier game of the year or later, depending on when it comes out, game of the year pod, talking about Artemis, a ship commanding game where you're basically on a Star Trek bridge and, you know, everybody has like specific roles. And Hell Let Loose is tapping into that same idea of, like, it kind of, like, taps into the idea of, like, role play as well. Because, mm-hmm, you know, totally. You know, you, like, decide to, like, oh, I'm going to play a medic in the battlefield. And, like, you kind of role play it a little bit. Or the commanders. It's interesting. I think it's really, like, I think it's a really cool thing. I just don't know if it necessarily makes top three for us, because mostly because like only Six has played it, which again is not like a detriment. You know, we can still have that conversation. But I also think about like in order to get a group of friends together and be like, hey, let's play Hell Let Loose. Like you have to do a lot, like you have to invest a lot into it, which is again, not necessarily even a bad thing.
I don't know that I think that's true.
You don't think so? Okay.
No. I mean, like, if you just want to be a rifleman or even a medic, that's really straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a fair bit with Nick. I did stuff with Nick and a few other friends from the extended group where we were, like, we were a tank crew together, and that was some hilarious fun. It's like all the tanks, like they were in World War II, all the tanks are stick shift. And you're like, hell yeah, I got us into fourth gear. We're really cruising. And the tank commander, who can actually see where you're going, said, I wish you hadn't. There's a building ahead of us.
Right.
I mean, I think maybe it won't make the top three. I do feel like there are things I would like to cut before it.
Yeah.
And I think I want to start with Final Fantasy VII First Soldier, mm-hmm. which, again, game that is multiplayer. Incredible. I love this game. I don't think this is the year for First Soldier because I didn't play it with anyone, and the times when I did, I often was annoyed because I was playing with randos and I'm better at the game than most of them because I play it too much.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely need to play some of it with you this year. Like,
so briefly, like, we know that Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier, is a battle royale style game, like PUBG, Apex, you know, pick your poison, really. And so what does Final Fantasy VII First Soldier do to, like, make it, like, stand out amongst, like, the crowded, like, landscape of battle royale style games?
So it does have shooting mechanics, mm-hmm. right? But it is also an action RPG with magic and monster hunting.
Interesting. Okay.
So, like, you are picking your class. There are, like, melee combos. You have special abilities. You're getting materia to cast spells and leveling up your materia. You're hunting monsters for rewards and to level up. There's just... I have an article that hopefully by the time this comes out, I will finally have published. But basically, it is a bunch of... It's like... Are you familiar with Philo Dough?
Yes. The thing that you make, like, pastries and... pies out of?
Yeah, like spanakopita or baklava, mm-hmm. are phyllo dough. Phyllo dough is like a ton of layers of really, really thin dough.
Right.
Is how it works. And that is how First Soldier works, is it has a ton of systems, and all of them are really thin, right? Like, the guns are just guns. There are very, like, most of them are just like, oh, do you want an assault rifle or an SMG or a shotgun? They're incredibly straightforward. The melee, very simple. Everyone just has one combo. You hold down the sword button and it swings your sword. The magic, very straightforward. All of these systems, dead simple, but it stacks them on top of each other, and there's so many of them that the fun comes from the way these systems interact with each other and knowing what system to use in a given moment. When you see an enemy closing on you, you have to make the assessment of, like, okay, what weapons do I have? What weapons do they have? What class are they? What magic do I have? And all of that determines what the right action is in that moment. And if you fuck up, if you're like, I've got a shotgun, this guy's done, and then that person is a leveled up soldier, the melee class, they're just going to cut you in fucking half.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all those systems are really great, but I want to take this off the list because this is not its year. I think when it hopefully gets that console port, it's gonna have another moment in the sun.
Right. Yeah. Being able to play it with, like, an actual controller versus just, like, the touchscreen of your phone, I think is really going to, like, again, nothing wrong with, like, touchscreen shooting. You know, they obviously, like, tuned it, and, like, does it play particularly well on, like, phones?
It plays fine. I mean, I prefer to hook up a controller because I'm not as nice as Kiri. I do think there's plenty wrong with touchscreen shooting. You do your best with what you have, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
It's what it is.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's, I think that's fair. I have one that I do want to bring up and cut from the list. And that is Melty Blood Type Lumina.
Hmm. Okay.
So my reasoning being is Melty Blood Type Lumina is a really, really fantastic game. Like, I really love its systems and its mechanics, and it's a really fun fighting game. But I think about what Melty Blood is doing to, like, facilitate, like, social play beyond just having a, like, I'm trying to think if it does anything particularly well to, like, facilitate, like, people, you know, hopping off cabinets and, like, you know, that sort of thing. Like, it's just, like,
I see.
It works fine, but, like, it doesn't. But
specifically in the category of social, it doesn't seem that remarkable.
Yeah, like, it's a really great fighting game. Don't get me wrong. There will be other categories in which I talk about how astounding I find the gameplay of Melty Blood Type Lumina is. And it has really good, effective rollback netcode, and it works well. It's just that the social experience of playing Melty Blood Type Lumina is kind of just, it's like any other fighter. When I have, you know, there are games out there that have also, like, done things to elevate the, like, just the simple experience of playing, you know, a game online with other people, either with friends or with strangers. Like, you know, I think of, like, Guilty Gear Xrd and Granblue. Like, the idea of, like, you just have your little avatar and you walk up to an arcade machine and it's like, oh, I see these two fighting, I'm going to spectate this match, right? And again, it could just be a budget thing. This is another French Bread production. Like, it's a bit of, you know, Melty Bloods is a step up from, say, like, Undernight Inbirth, which Undernight Inbirth is just, like, a menu, right? But I think, like, as a social game, like, Melty Blood Type Lumina is still an accessible, fun, fast, like, fighter with the things you need to be able to play it online with other people. But I don't think it does anything particularly special in that area besides just being a really fun fighting game. If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
On the same note as Six cutting Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier because it wasn't its year, I was thinking about cutting Halo Infinite because it's also not its year, and I'm not sure whether it will have its year, honestly. I guess it depends on what they do with the way that the progression and everything else works, because, like, the Battle Pass stuff actively, like, has repelled, I think, some of our friends from actually getting in and playing it that often, to the point where a game that I was kind of hoping would become a regular multiplayer mainstay with my friends has kind of turned into, like, a every few weeks someone's like, hey, want to play Halo? And one or two people are like, sure. And then that's about it.
And I've had a lot of fun playing Halo Infinite. I think for my taste, it is the most fun I've had with Halo multiplayer in a long time. But you are right that all of the trappings around it that are supposed to encourage you to play drive me the fuck away.
Right, and this is in, like, stark comparison to, like, say, the now, like, initially incredibly broken and fucked up, but now functional and fun to play, like, Halo Master Chief Collection, right? And how that seems to, like, in my experience, it seems to, like, facilitate social play a little easier. Like, you can play online, you know, co-op campaigns, you can, you know, drop into, like, interesting playlists and stuff. It just seems like to me that if you ask someone like, hey, want to play Halo, they think, hey, let's play an older Halo. And it's like, what is Infinite doing to draw in, you know, not only just like new players, but people who have like enjoyed and loved the series?
Yeah, ideally they're going to make good on the stuff they've been talking about since launch and actually, like, make the progression something worthwhile, but I'm not going to really give it kudos for something that it hasn't fulfilled yet.
I want to cut Forza Horizon 5 because it's Forza Horizon 4 again, which is Forza Horizon 3 again, which is Forza Horizon 2 again.
I guess that's...
it's not bad, I just, like, if I didn't know, like, if you handed me the controller in the middle of the game, I wouldn't know which Forza Horizon I was playing.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Like, I do think that it does social a lot better than many of these other games, just because it comes up with a million different things to track, and also, like, it's something that does okay. It does okay by its progression stuff, just in terms of, like, hey, if you see a car that you think is really cool for this particular week, here's a bunch of challenges we've given you to try and earn it. And that's kind of fun. But yeah, overall, it feels weird to say that they're stuck in a rut because, like, by all accounts, it's the most successful one ever and people seem to love it. And I kind of love it. It's just, like, it is more of the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's a damn good game, but it's, yeah. If you're looking for something fresh and original, that's not it.
I this is not a social thing, but I do think their use of Mexico is really uninspired and annoys me. Like, not that they use Mexico, but the fact, honestly, the fact that they don't use Mexico, right? Like, you're in Mexico and there's some Mexican landscapes and stuff, but they don't really do anything with Mexican culture in a way that I find really disappointing.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like, they throw a few songs on there. They have you drive around ruins to the level that it was deemed acceptable by the Tourism Board of Mexico. And also, like, one of the side stories is basically a gigantic Volkswagen ad by basically people talking about how important Volkswagen has been to the people of Mexico and stuff like that. But yeah, it's something where it feels very superficial at a lot of points, and it'd be great if they did something more than that.
Why is there no Mexico? Like, forget, like, there should be like 4 Mexican radio stations. There are 0.
Yeah, you have
in Mexico.
Yep, you just have the same radio stations as you have had in every other game, but occasionally they'll just throw out a song that happens to be in Spanish.
Yeah, disappointing. This is a little frustrating to me to do this, but I feel like in the interest of moving things along, I'll cut Final Fantasy 14. Because I don't think there's anything that makes it particularly 2021.
Right. Also, it's like, you know, it is, you know, obviously Endwalker came out in 2021, but like, it is still like, not to say that Endwalker isn't great, like from a story or gameplay perspective. I'm just thinking about like, and you can tell me a little bit more about this. Like, has it done anything to make the, like, has it done anything new in 2021 to, like, make the social experience, like, a little bit, like, more, like, if it's, does it facilitate the social experience a little easier than in previous entries? Because it's still, like, a pretty, not old MMO, but, like, it's been around for a while. Like, this is version 6, right?
I mean, so I don't think the release date of it makes much of a difference in that front. I think if you're good at making MMOs, you can do a good job of making them still feel modern and advance, you know, elements of them. I think Final Fantasy 14 feels fine on that angle. And I do think it has made, like, there are some positive things I could say about the social experience that I couldn't before. Like, I do think the Nier raids, which were continuing to be released through 2021, were a great, like, spectacle experience for folks that were fun to do together. But ultimately, it is, like, it continues to be Final Fantasy 14. I still like playing it with my friends. I still love just hanging out, but I don't feel like it is emblematic of the year in any way.
Right.
Except for some memories I have of, you know, doing some stuff with friends, but like it doesn't feel the same, right? It's kind of like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a good fit for the category.
Sure.
I'm curious about why you cut that before you cut Gundam Battle Operations too, because like that game is even less 2021 related.
Not for me.
I mean, I think, like, didn't it get, like, so question, for GBO 2, was there, like, a PS5 release that they did?
There was a PS5 release, and that's pretty much when I got into the game for real. I played a little bit of it before that, but this is the year that I actually got into GBO 2, and that's why it is absolutely. And one of the things I've been very pleasantly surprised about with GBO 2 is I think it does a pretty good job of encouraging, like, it does the very Japanese game thing of not giving you a ton of ways to interact with people, but the ones that are there, I think they do a really good job of encouraging, like, positivity and support and communication in a way that I really admire. They have, like, preset quick chat lines, but, like, they have, like, if you think of it like a lot of these games where it's like, oh, you pick lines to assign, and there's a tab that's like, you know, like communication, there's a tab that's like, you know, like positioning, there's a tab that's like teamwork, and there are 3 tabs of Gundam memes, because they know what people want.
Right.
And it gets people hyped up to work together when they're like, they're like, you know, this is no Zaku, and everyone's like, hell yeah. At the end of every game, just about every player says good job, win or lose.
Right. And it seems like like, has it been doing, like, also, like, content updates for 2021 as well?
Oh, tons of them. Tons of them.
Like, it seems like every couple of weeks it's like, oh, we got, like, new mobile suits to play with.
Yeah, there is a new mobile suit every week. And this year, they broke the 3-star system and went to 4 stars by adding machines from Char's counterattack and stuff. I mean, like, they're getting kind of wild with it. Also, they had the incorporation of stuff from Code Fairy, which we'll talk about in a different category, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a terrific year for GBO2.
Okay.
It's one of those things where, like, yeah, GBO2 has been around for a little while, but it seems like the stars have, like, aligned for GBO in such a way for that people can just, like, jump in. There's tons of mobile suits to play with. It has the social tools to facilitate, like, social play, and it just works.
Yeah, name your favorite machine from the main Gundam timeline. If your name isn't Dylan, then it's in this game.
Okay.
If your name is Dylan, then I'm sorry, Dylan. They still haven't gotten into the Advance of Zeta spinoffs very much. They've started to. The Hazel's in there. They don't have the Wound Ward yet. We'll get there.
How many Quibblies can I play with?
I know there are at least 4.
Fantastic.
Do they have any that aren't from Universal Century? Like, do they have Sandrock?
No, because this is set in Universal Century, so that wouldn't make any sense.
Oh, okay.
So, I could introduce you to some friends, Jennifer. I promise. I have some buddies you'll like.
Okay, that's good to hear. I guess this is the year where I really try and get a PS5 so it runs okay.
Jen, you could play as the Titania.
Yeah, I definitely need a PS5.
Unless we want to bend the number. We currently have Mario Party Superstars, Hell Let Loose, Mahjong Soul, and Gundam Battle Operation 2, which means we have one cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Hell Let Loose or Mario Party.
I want to talk a little bit about Mario Party Superstars a little bit, because I think this is like a really, like, there's a fraught history regarding Mario Party. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, Mario Party games can get, like,
miserable,
absolutely miserable, and they tried to curve a lot of that stuff in like Super Mario Party, but it doesn't quite hit the same notes. I feel like that Mario Party Superstars, there's a lot of like really smart changes and a lot of smart moves to basically say this is like the Mario Party game that exists in your memory. Basically,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. They are explicitly making callbacks to, like, you know, all the boards in the game so far. And, you know, there's probably going to be content updates along the way. But all the boards are classic boards from 1, 2, and 3, like, which is probably, like, which are easily the most popular Mario Party games. It has, like, only a select number of characters, but these are characters that are, like, favorites, you know? So, you know, even if your absolute favorite character isn't in the game, you could play as Rosalina, you could play as Birdo, you could play as...
Whoa.
Rosalina is great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Kyrie out here like, I mean, listen, if you need to, you know, settle for some sloppy seconds, what? Rosalina's here.
All right, allow me
what
to...
What the fuck?
Allow me to, I apologize to the Rosalina stands in the audience.
Thank you.
What I meant was, like, if you were really attached to, like, I don't know, Boo from, like, Mario Party 8 or something like that, it's not going to be in there. But odds are there is one character in the roster that you really like. Like, that's just kind of, like, how it works. And it has a nice mix of games from the previous entries. They do, unfortunately, have the games that could destroy the palm of your hand for some reason. They have the Tug of War game. But I think they've tweaked it in such a way in which those games are generally shorter and don't last as long. Like, or like the mini game in and of itself. It probably shouldn't be there in the first place.
Yeah, whenever I see them, I just throw them. I'm just like, nope, I'm not playing this one.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying that they have made some changes. Also, the online works really well. You know, when we played, like, you know, we had friends like all across, you know, the United States, and the there wasn't like tons of like noticeable lag like during the mini games. There's a little bit of lag like during the dice roll portions, but it still like is speedy when you play like the 10 turn game. And then of course it has the hell of the 30 turn game. If you really want to experience the depravity of Mario Party.
Most importantly, they have a bunch of reaction stickers, and they're all perfect depending on whether you're unlocking them from the shop or you're just using like default whatever your character comes with, like
the smug Rosalina going what is like iconic, incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess if I have a problem with it, I think my problem is I don't think Super Mario Party totally hit the mark, but I really liked what it was going for, and this felt like a step backwards. This is a painfully unambitious game.
Right, and that's like, again, that's, you know, that is something that you can kind of hold against it, but it is like, I think one thing that it can do is, like, I am interested to see what, like, say, if they ever get around to, like, Super Mario Party 2, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think they have, like, fundamentally found a way to, like, through these two games, like, they have found ways to, you know, make, like, these Mario Party games, like, really interesting and fun to play with a group. And I just, you know, think about, like, whether it be on stream or just, like, we had, like, a group of friends over at one point, Jen, and we just played, you know, Mario Party Superstars for an evening. And that was just, it was just a riot, yeah. Right? Like, it facilitates a lot of, like, it does, it leans into, like, the, like, you know, bullshit random elements, but in, like, fun, really interesting and fun ways. Like, again, these aren't games of skill, sorry Dan Reichert, I guess, but they're not supposed to be. It's just meant to facilitate having a good time with friends, and I think Mario Party Superstars does a lot of things to facilitate those things through, you know, the design of like how well its online is structured, and then like the design of the boards themselves.
Exactly.
I just say, like, I don't think it wins, but I wanted to say that, like, it's a pretty good game. Like, as a party game. Sure. Like, it's right in the title. It's a party game. And you're going to have a pretty good time, you know, playing this game.
You can have a party with Mario Party.
Yeah.
Bring the friends and chips.
Jed, it's not even, like, 7 p.m.
I know, I was just going for a joke here. Yeah, I can't tell jokes unless it's 9 p.m.
I can't tell jokes.
God damn it, Six.
All right.
I guess my problem is I don't think this should be a 4 entry top here. I think top 3 is fine here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble seeing Hell Let Loose go, given what it does and its social ambitions. Like, in a category of social game of the year, I really want to commend Hell Let Loose for what it has done.
Okay. Should we get Mahjong Soul then?
No.
No, the Mahjong Soul wins.
Mahjong Soul wins this category with a bullet.
I guess we can cut Gundam Battle Operation 2. I've said my piece about it. I think it's very good, but I could see these three being the three.
Yeah.
Buy me PS5.
No. We can get our own.
Yeah, that is true. We can get our own. We're adults here.
Yeah, ostensibly.
So that means our top three is Mario Party Superstars, Hell Let Loose, and Mahjong Soul. And Mahjong Soul, of course, is a browser-based, free-to-play gacha game where you play Mahjong together, and it's great.
Listen, okay. Let's talk about why Mahjong Soul wins this category. Mahjong Soul, yes, is a gacha game. Its gacha is a fucking nightmare. Like, even during the Akagi crossover event, you got one free roll, like, in your, like, inbox or whatever. And you could, like, you only got that free roll if you made your account before the Akagi crossover event. Okay? So the gotcha of it is, it's pretty awful. However, the actual act of playing Mahjong in Mahjong Soul, it is one of the most accessible ways to play this incredible game online, period. Like, it is obscenely easy to just make an account and instantly just start playing Mahjong. And it does a lot of really great, like, quality of life things to make the game of Mahjong easier to digest for new people. Like I have used Mahjong Soul as, like, a teaching tool. Like, when I'm teaching people how to play it, like, the things it does help surface, like, the little things that, you know, are hard to, like, talk about or visualize, you know, if you're playing, like, an actual set, you know, playing Mahjong in real life, basically. You know, like, it's just little things like the fact, like, when you hover over a particular tile that is in your hand, it'll show the tile grayed out in the other player's discard piles or called tiles, right? So it just instantly visualizes, like, the thing you need to know when you are taking your turn. Or, you know, every Mahjong game, like, does this where it shows, like, you know, what you're waiting on, but, like, it displays things of, like, how many, you know, theoretical tiles are still left in the wall when you make your choice, when you declare Ricci or something like that. Also, like the act of, like, declaring Ricci is so fun when you have, like, if you participate in the gacha and you get, like, the Ricci music, there's, like, a bunch of tracks that play, so it just increases, like, the hype, like the hype of just, like, playing, you know, declaring Ricci. It's just so fun. It's super quick to get into games. You know, you just add people to your friends list and, you know, you just start playing.
Yeah, by all intents and purposes, it's a good game of Mahjong attached to a really shitty gacha component.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, another great thing about, like, Mahjong Soul that it does is that, like, it's been slowly adding, like, bonus game modes, like the recently added Game of Darkness, which is its own, which is a nightmare, but it's really, like, it can be pretty funny sometimes. And then there's, like, Battle of Asura, which is, like, they're not great, but at the same time, like, it means that the developers of Mahjong Soul aren't just, like, putting resources into, like, the gacha. They're actually trying to make fun alternate modes, like, that you can kind of, like, mess with, like, when you are playing Mahjong. But also, the game itself is just so incredibly solid. Like, it just works extremely well.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it such a good social game, I think the emotes are really fun and expressive, but I think mostly it is the way through its sort of, like, low-key teaching and its colorful atmosphere and expressive elements that it makes Mahjong so much more of an inviting experience than so many other Mahjong games. I think playing Mahjong Soul, it is easier to watch this thing and be like, oh, this is a thing I can play and enjoy. And you may not feel that way, Jen, because, you know, you bounced off and that's fair. But, like, if we'd shown you almost any other Mahjong game, you would have bounced so much harder.
All right. Just as an experiment, Jen, look up Tenho just real quick for me. We're going to have some clacking on the audio. I apologize. But, like, not Tenho, Tenho, T-E-N-H-O. All right, click that. Just click that. Okay. Not only is this
is
like
giving a virus or
no, but, like, there's, like, a screenshot of, like Tenho's interface, right? And it's just, like, it is so boring and dry, and, like, there's no, like, you don't get any of the, like, fun characters or
where are the anime girls? You need the anime girls for. That's what you're saying, right?
That is kind of what I'm saying.
They don't hurt.
They don't hurt. The character designs are a lot of fun, and They've had a couple crossover events. 2021 had, like, I believe a Kakagurui event. They had the Akagi event. And so, like, they're adding characters, like, all the time. But, like, you know, yeah, you can kind of, like, poke fun. It's like, oh, where are the anime girls? But, like, also at the same time, it allows you to, like, have just a little bit of expression. But also just, like, when you play your tiles and you know, hear the characters go, like, Pon or Chi or Kan or anything like that, like, they're fully voice acted and every character sounds unique and different. And it's like, it lets you express yourself in some way. Even if you're just using the two default characters, the, like, Ara Ara Onesan, I can never remember her name, and the cat girl, right? The cat girl goes, like, Richinya, like, every time she plays Richi, and it's cute.
Yeah. Well, six, I would be willing to play more with y'all, honestly. I just, I'm probably not going to be the one winning any games, but it'd be fun.
Listen, we used to play a bunch with Harry before Harry got too busy, and Harry is possibly the worst position for this because Harry has internalized the rules of Chinese Mahjong where you don't need win conditions. And so Harry, like, plays confidently until the very end of the game where they realize they've been playing chess, not checkers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really incredible. God. It's just that, like I said, it's like all the surrounding details of like that Mahjong Soul incorporates is what makes the game so inviting and so fun to play. Like, I pretend to be mad about this moment that happened to me where I was like, I was winning a set of games, I was doing really well, and then my friend in her very last turn, in the very last hand, pulls out Kakuji Musou and, like, a firework erupts from the tile as it, like, teleports the players into the clouds, as, like, you see, like, figures dancing in the clouds, and then the kanji for Kakuchi Musou just shows up on the screen. It's a big explosive thing, and they really add, like, a layer of, like, theatricality to the game of Mahjong. Pretty sure in Tenho it would just be, oh, you win. In this game, you get a whole anime-ass cutscene, right? It's so
and
fun.
There's also just little moments that are allowed through their systems of, like, friendly toxicity, where, like, if you play the tile the other person needs to win, that's a Ron they call Ron they win. The way we play that, you have 60 seconds to do any calls, and so you play a tile, and the game freezes, and you're like, it didn't advance. Oh no. And then the other person does an emote of their anime girl, like, pumping her fist. And then does it again. And then does it again. And then does it again. And you're just like, just call it already. Please just call it. Please just kill me.
There are times in which, like, the systems of this game make me, like, basically shit my pants. Because, like, there's a little light indicator in the middle of, like, the table that shows, like, whose turn it is. And the moment you play a tile, most of the time, it advances to the next player. When that shit don't move, but clenchingly, like, you start having a goddamn anxiety attack.
Like, the best thing to do is when Kyrie discards one of the dragons, which are basically always scary to discard, and the game freezes, but you're not the one it froze for, you're like, oh, I don't have a prompt, but the game has stopped. Then you start spamming emotes, and Kyrie will just about die.
Amazing.
But, yeah, more than anything, it has been, like, easily our most social game of the year because, you know, it is just, like, it's a very, like, even though the game can be intensely complicated and you can do tons of theory crafting and, like, learning the math and, like, learning other players, it is still just a really fun game to just sit down and shoot the shit and, like, draw and discard tiles. You know, it's just, like, there's a reason this whole Mahjong thing has endured for, like, centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, like, I think, like, unless, Jen, you can, like, make an argument for the other two games, I think Mahjong Soul is our winner.
Yeah, I think it's our winner, too. We'll go ahead and select that one.
All right. So congratulations to Mahjong Soul for winning Social Game of the Year with runners-up Mario Party Superstars and Hell Let Loose. Been a very good year for social games because we've been struggling to find other aspects of our life to be social in.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Just like the year before it, weirdly enough.
Yeah. And we're entering into a third one. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, listen, this will all be over tomorrow. Anyway,
rule of threes. That's how comedy works, right? It's like rule of threes, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be fine. We'll be fine.
I thought that was how third pound.
Rule of pawn.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back with more awards. But until we are, peace out.
See ya. Later.